Praise the Lord. Do you have expectations this morning? It's such a great honor to be here this morning to share with us very briefly the word of the Lord. I don't take it for granted to have this honor one more time to be a blessing to God's people. Can you just lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord? Just whisper something to the Lord from the depth of your heart. Say something to the Lord this morning. This privilege that we have yet again to come under the ambience of your spirit and receive instructions and perspective consistent with the realization of our ordinations on the face of the earth. Father, we ask this morning that even as we hear from you, we will not only be educated and inclined unto spiritual realities, but will be granted access, penetration, and ability to demonstrate them and to fulfill your eternal counsel on the face of the earth. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. I will pray and ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. I know we've been here for quite some time. We've spent some time already. So I'll not be talking for so long. I'll just be bringing us a brief charge. Then we'll pray. Just give us a brief charge, maybe for 15 minutes, and then we'll take time and pray for another 10 minutes. Then we'll release the spirit of grace upon every one of us so that we can walk in the reality of that which will be shared this morning. The Bible said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Although by reason of our frame, our design, our context, and our dimension, we are compelled to give expression to the gospel through our vocabulary, through words. But what we need to understand is that the gospel is not necessarily, in essence, ontologically a function of words. The gospel is the life of God communicated by His Spirit. But it's impossible for you to live in this frame without giving expression to spirit realities by words. Words become the most essential medium of communicating spiritual realities. So we are sentenced to using words to communicate the gospel. But the gospel is not necessarily a function of words. So Paul said the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. So when we speak to people, when we communicate the gospel, we are actually trying to relate the power of God to the people. So it goes beyond you understanding articulately the things that we communicate. The gospel becomes real. The gospel becomes experiential when we are able to power that brings salvation. And the gospel becomes profitable when you are able to receive that power, not just the understanding. There are lots of people who are having crises in life today, not because they lack the understanding of the tenets of the gospel. They understand the pillars of redemption. They understand the essence of the gospel. But the problem and the crisis of their life is their inability to touch the power and the life of the gospel. So to them, especially for those of us who are young, it becomes the function of cerebral inclination. So we come, we display our intelligence and understanding of doctrinal exegesis, but our life is not in conformity to the things that we know. So in order to be delivered from the crisis of life, Paul summarized the scope of the gospel in one word. He said it is the power of God unto salvation. So if you've not made contact with that power, no matter what you know doctrinally, you have not understood the gospel. Because in spiritual essence, the proof that you have understood the reality is that first of all, the consciousness of that reality is formed. And secondly, that reality begins to transform you. So knowledge in the spirit is actually consciousness that results in transformation. Knowledge is not just a function of mental exertion. So this morning, we want to look at the help of God. And if truly the help of God is communicated, somebody here will receive help for his present crisis and circumstance. And I believe you are that one person that will make contact with the help of God. Jesus came and gave a manifesto about the gospel. And he said that he's come to preach the gospel. And Jesus began to explain. He was not saying different things, but he was just trying to relate the gospel for different context. He said, for the blind, I have come to open their eyes. That is power. Jesus was only telling us the power dimension of the gospel. He said, for the deaf, I have come to unstop the deafness of his ear. It's the same thing he's talking about. So whatever your crisis in life is, if the gospel comes, the gospel becomes the solution. For the sinner, the gospel is salvation. For the sick, the gospel is health. For the helpless, the gospel is help. For the one who is walking in perpetual poverty and penury, the gospel is the wealth of God. So that was the manifesto that Jesus gave. And if we want to look at it in another context or language, the gospel is the help of God. That ability of God that brings you out of your quagmire. That enablement of the Spirit of God that removes you from the crisis of your life. Not just to give you meaning in time, but to give you eternal relevance. Because you are not truly saved unless you are eternally saved. God is not just interested in giving you bread and water, because everything you eat and drink will end in time. So when we are talking about the help of God, we are talking about a dimension of the walking of the Spirit of God that makes a man relevant in time and in eternity. The apostles told Jesus, they said, we've left everything to follow you. What is in this thing for us? And Jesus said, no man that follows me will lack, not in this world or in the world to come. So the help of God is the power of God that gives meaning to the life of a man, both in time and in eternity. It's not just about healing the man from sickness. It's about giving the man eternal relevance. The help of God is what every one of us needs. If you see anybody doing anything that is beyond the boundaries of mortality, know that that man is helped. You know, we are in a world today where people deliberately build systems in order to deify themselves. They separate humankind from the help that they access in God so that they become dependent on them. That's why a lot of people don't know the gospel. you will see 10,000 people surrounding only one man. If those people understand the gospel, something will happen. The man will be significant because it's worthy to honor them that labor in the kingdom. But beyond the significance of the man, everybody will know God for themselves. So they will no longer look up to man for help, but God will truly become their source. So the reason that man is important is not because the man is their papa. The reason the man is important is because the man becomes a channel through which they can access God. That's when a man has received the help of God. But many have no understanding of the help of God. The worst part is that we even become religious, having no understanding of how to access the dimensions of God, having no understanding of how to access the things that are freely given to us by God. So people do all kinds of things, hoping that by doing those things, God will be moved. Do you know who God is? Can you move God? The reason you are even here, you know, somebody has a challenge. Maybe he's heartbroken, or he lacks money, or he lacks something, and then he wants to do something to provoke God. That you even know that you have a need was granted you. That you had understanding in the first place was granted you. That you had emotion in the first place to know the need for love was because God gave you the emotion. So it brings you to a place of assurance of the love and the faithfulness of God. That's when men are able to access the possibilities of God. But many are not taught. So we live in a life of confusion and contradiction. But like my brother said, he said this morning that the Lord will lighten our understanding so that the scales will be lifted up. What is the help of God? The help of God is the cure to your crisis. If you are still in crisis, you may do all the religious route. If you are in crisis, you may do all the ordinances. But if God has not supernaturally brought you a visitation to take you out of that crisis, you may not have accessed the help of God. What is the help of God? The help of God is that impute of the divine that not only solves your problem, but makes you a problem solver. What is the help of God? The help of God is that ability of God that works in a man and gives him capacity beyond the frailty of mortality. I'll give you two or three scriptures that reveal to us what the help of God really means. In Exodus chapter 3, God met with Moses. Now, these were people who were sentenced to Christ's captivity, and everything that is called hope was lost. You know, when you've been in captivity for more than 200 years, the people that were in captivity trusting God for hope, all of them have died. 40 years have passed many times, so many generations have died. All they had left was hope. Hope beyond the boundaries of mortality. So the only thing that kept them going was that one day God will visit us. One generation will recite it and hand it over to another generation, and they kept reciting it. So a point came when they were at the mercy of the Egyptians. So much so that the Egyptian Pharaoh will give a decree that if they give birth to a male child, seize him and kill him. And then these helpless people will do nothing about it. Have you come to a situation in your life where all hopes are not just lost, but the circumstance begin to torture and torment you? It's a time where you need the help of God.
It's not just like you are having need for money now. But poverty becomes a tormentor over your life. Such was the condition of the Israelites. Have you been in that addiction where you are carrying out that addiction and you are crying? Or the moment you are just done, it looks as if you are picked from the mud. Even you yourself, you are ashamed. This is not somebody caught you in an act. Nobody caught you in that act. But you have come to a point where you disdain yourself. That means this addiction is no longer a problem. It has become a tormentor over your life. Such was the condition of the Israelite. A man in that condition is the man that is in desperate need of the help of God. Have you come to a point where there is no light over your circumstance anymore? At first you thought maybe you will call one or two uncles, they will help you. But you now get to a point where the uncles that will help you becomes the one that want to sell you out. A young lady of 16 years who needs to go to school, and the uncle is telling him to get married to a man of 45 because the man promised him a land or money. The young lady is helpless. There is nobody to cry to because both parents are dead. That's when a person needs the help of God. But you may not take advantage of the help of God. You may take the help of God for granted until you come to a desperate circumstance where your crisis becomes a torment. But the reason we share the gospel is so that men can be wise to build systems, spiritual systems around their lives, not to get to that point where they are helpless. Because it begins and is a slippery slope. It glides you into that point of no return. So that those thoughts and feelings you are having now, you will quickly access help so that those things don't become an addiction. That's why we teach subjects like this. Not because we are looking for somebody who is in a helpless condition, but we are telling the man who is currently in a position of safety how to keep his ground. Because if he doesn't keep his ground, a point may come when he will fall to a situation where he will be eternally helpless until God helps. That's why the young lady thinks it's about parties on Friday. She doesn't understand where she's going to. She doesn't know that parties can result in meeting a strange man, and it can result to HIV, or it can result to pregnancy. And in the space of 3 months, a young lady who was blossoming with light and hope for the future becomes a depressed person, and suicide becomes an alternative. If that person understands the slippery intelligence of the demonic to bring him or her to a helpless position, he will grab the help of God. God comes to help because there is no hope for humanity apart from God. God comes to help because with mortality is doom and damnation. So wise men are people that access the help of God. The condition of the Israelites in Egypt is a reflection of the possibilities that man can fall into if he walks by his senses. It's a possibility that man can come to if he does not take advantage of the help of God, but he begins to rely on the help that he can receive from man. Remember, the Bible said, woe unto him that trusted in the arm of flesh. He said, because the arm of flesh is a hopeless condition in our everyday contemporary language. Israel on their own migrated to Egypt, but they never understood that they were walking into a trap. The things that you are walking into today may look juicy, but it is important for you to be wise. Never to take a step unless you have heard and received direction from God. Because that thing that looks like help today, tomorrow may become your grave. There are many young people that are making decisions as serious as marriage. They are making those decisions based on assumptions and feelings. You meet a young girl and say, I had peace. I had peace. And you want to commit 50 years of your life because you felt what you call peace. And then after 5 years, every day becomes a night of sorrow because he doesn't understand that there is a help that everyone must hold on to. Not before you get into crisis. Not after you get into crisis. But even before you get into crisis. It's called the help of God. That's what Israel was crying for over 400 years. That ability of God that they did not ask for. At first, all they needed was bread. Why didn't they cry and ask God for intervention when they had that opportunity? Now, the bread that they had became the bread of sorrow. So you walk to death, and what you eat is just to sustain you so that you have energy to walk. A point comes in a man's life where everything that comes to his life is to keep him surviving, but he's surviving in the midst of sorrow. That's a man that have not taken advantage of the help of God. Every one of us needs the help of God. And we must learn desperately how to access it. This morning I want to show you three ways, very simple ways, of accessing the help of God. Because if I begin to open scriptures to show you different kinds of circumstances that men find themselves, either because they led themselves through it or they were carried into it, it may take us the whole day. I don't have time to expound on the conditions that Joseph found himself, a young lad of 17 years who was sold into a foreign land, a diligent guy trying to please his master, and suddenly the demonic woman comes to destroy the destiny of this boy. That come and lie with me. If he's not a man that knows the help of God, he would have gone in with Potiphar's wife, and at best he would have been a chief chef all his life, working in the kitchen of Potiphar. But that was supposed to be a prince that will rule a nation. The reason most of you call what you call blessing is because you have no assurance of the help of God. So you are in a little condition that puts you under pressure, and then the devil brings a suggestion, and then you jump at it. You jump at it, not knowing that it's a trap. Moses would have been the most favored servant in Potiphar's house by sleeping with the wife. He looks simple, but is a disguise. Why was he able, a servant who was sold, why was he able to stand before this woman and say, I cannot commit this evil before God? He was not even so concerned about Potiphar. He knew that what will keep him in Egypt and give him life and a future was his relationship with God. That's the man that knows the help of God. They were to throw him into prison. The woman threatened him, but he ran away. So it is better to leave Potiphar's house where you have a decent shelter and you have food to eat every day. Why don't you tell yourself, well, it's just once. Maybe I just sleep with her today and then she will leave me. And then stay there and have food. You are leaving that place to prison where nobody will ask after you. And he was in the prison for 40 years. Most of you, you jump out of your right standing with God and you jump at offers that even your conscience, as weak as your conscience is, tells you that this one does not please the Father. And you go ahead. It's because you don't know the help of God. Joseph knew the help of God. So when they brought him what you will call help that will violate his standing with God, he said it is better to go to prison than to receive this. Even if God will not intervene, I will be in prison with an assurance that God is with me. You have not gotten to that point. You don't know the help of God. They tell you, okay, come quickly. They are going to close the portal now. But this is what will happen. Just go, come with us to this club. And then there are these young guys that are coming. They'll give you this money. Just pay your school fees. And you say, Lord, Lord. Then the Holy Ghost begins to on your soul. On your soul. Then you act as if you are not hearing the Holy Ghost again. You are dressing, you are baiting, you are talking quick. You are hearing music because you don't want to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, don't go. You are just doing everything quick. They are calling, say, yes, I'm coming. You go until you get yourself to a point where you can no longer hear the whispers of Zion. Before a man receives the help of the devil, he consciously shut down the help of God. That's why you went to carry the money, because you thought that you will sort this thing out and pay later. The Holy Ghost said, no, you don't know what you are doing to yourself. You are shorting the help of God. Many either do not know the help of God or they violate the protocol of accessing the help of God. For Joseph, there was no future in disobeying Potiphar's wife. But he would prefer to have that assurance he had with God and to go into prison. And there was never a time where he lamented. The visitation of God came after many years, but the guy was better with God than to align with the world system and violate what kept him with his God. The help of God is a life, it's a relationship, it's a confidence that we have with God that makes us to choose even suffering, momentary suffering, as against the offering of this world. The help of God is an assurance that we have in our spirit that makes us even to suffer in this world, even though there doesn't look like a hope, but to rather suffer and wait on Him than to accept what the world has to offer. That was what Moses suddenly had when the Bible said he was come of age. The Bible said he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why will a man reject the courts of Pharaoh? He has discovered a new economy. That economy was not leading him to a higher palace. It was leading him to dwell with people in bondage. But the Bible said he chose rather to suffer affliction because he had respect for the recompense of the reward. The help of God is a knowing that a man enters into that defies his circumstances. It doesn't matter what you will go through. Paul said, for the which cause, 2 Corinthians 4:16, for the which cause we faint not. That means when you choose the help of God, sometimes it will lead you into crisis. Choosing the help of God sometimes may lead you into fire. But Paul said, for the which cause we faint not. He said, though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. He said, for our light affliction, which are but for a moment. Did you study the afflictions of Paul? Paul was flogged many times. There were times when he was stoned to death and they allowed him because they thought he had died. There were times when he went without food and water for 14 days. He calls that thing light affliction because the help of God brings a man to a place where he judges life from immortality. He doesn't judge life from the frailty of the flesh anymore. A man chooses affliction instead of aligning with the world. Paul calls it light affliction. And he said all of those things that happen to him is for a moment. I don't understand how stoning a man to death is light. And I don't understand how 14 days without food and fear of shipwreck is a moment. But that is a man that knows the hand of God. Our light affliction. How did he survive this thing? He said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. That means Paul judges life from immortality. The reason you easily get under pressure and you make decisions is because your confidence and your motivations are captured in things that are working on the economy of flesh. So if you don't get that in on time, you think you are losing. Or your friends may think that things are wrong with you. But a man who truly is dead in God, circumstances don't define him. He defines circumstances. He has a confidence that is beyond the boundaries of mortality. Why we look not at the things which are seen? Are you able to look away from the dress? Are you able to look away from the hunger? Are you able to look away from what men say and stand with God? The Bible said Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving thanks to God. Do you know what it looks like to be 75 years and everybody in the community know your wife is barren, and suddenly you come and change your name and say, I am no longer Azum's father, I'm the father of many nations, and my wife is now the mother of kings. You have no child. You are 75 years. That's a man that knows the help of God. Time doesn't define his confidence. Chance and luck doesn't define his confidence. There is an immortal thing that he beholds. That's a man that does not look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are eternal. That was the lifestyle that defined the patriarchs. You call them men of exploit, but you don't know the waters they passed through. You don't know how many times they went to the bottom of Hades and came back because they trusted in God. The reason our generation can't do so much is because we have too many plan Bs. We can't wait on God. We can't stand with God. Every little pressure we shift down because we don't know the help of God. The outward man perishes. I may lose my certificate, but I will not sleep with this lecturer to get an A. I better not graduate, but I will stand with God. And you don't know, certificates don't make men. I know many first class people who are looking for job for the past 5 years. Men don't make men. In this kingdom, only God makes men. I had a friend whose father was one of the biggest directors in this country. While we were still serving, they were waiting for him to graduate so that he would become a deputy manager in ARIC. Without experience, he didn't even do anything as touching aeronautic engineering or aerospace. Not even study accounting that you say he has business intelligence. But he had a man. 2 weeks before we passed out, the father died. All the promises he had sank in the ocean. That was when he started learning the way of help. It was too late. Because the things that needed to be built on his inside to make him rugged enough to defy circumstances, he didn't yield himself to those operations. Many don't know the help of God. The proof that you know the help of God is captured in the decisions that you make. It's defined by your lifestyle. 3 people come to marry them and they are checking their job, their profession. And then when he finds the one that is a doctor or an engineer or who is working with Chevron, he now says, I have peace. I have peace. You are not wise. He says, it's not given to man that walketh to order his steps. Because everything, decisions you will make will be based on information and fact and reason. But your fact cannot define tomorrow. Because tomorrow is outside the boundaries of the information that you have. It's only the spirit that is eternal in nature that can judge the future and tell you to decide now because he has traveled into your end. You choose a man because he worked with Chevron, but you don't know his lifespan on earth is remaining 3 years. The one you rejected today because he's wearing slippers is 3 years from now that God wants to promote him. Because help does not come from the north, the south, the east, or the west. It comes from the Lord. And by the seasons of his ordination, the windows that revolve over the circumference of his destiny will open in 3 years. And that's when the angels will be mobilized from heaven. So your life will be defined with him after 3 years. And that man had 50 more years to live. But you choose the Chevron guy because you judge by the sight of the eye. You don't know the help of God. The reason you see men go through the wilderness and leave everything that man calls duty is because they know the help of God. It's an ability in God that men have confidence in. And they are willing to yield themselves to those abilities to define their essence. Our light affliction, they are for a moment. He said, though they work for us an exceeding weight of glory. That's why Paul can go to a city even though he knows that he will be stoned. That's why Paul can be stoned to death and he rises up after the saints pray for him and resurrect him back to life. And then he will stand up with those injuries and he says, let's go to the next city. What do you mean? Don't you take breaks? Are there no holidays in your work? There is a burden in his heart. He said, necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. So long as there is bread on his nostril, there is an assignment that must be fulfilled. For that assignment, he's willing to drop his legal certificate and walk from street to street in wilderness and in places of lack and want so that the gospel can be preached. That's when life gains definition. The immortals don't judge you by the number of cars that you have. They judge you by the amount of life you pour on the altar for the fulfillment of that which God wrote concerning you before the foundations of the world. But a man will never go in the direction of purpose and calling unless he understands the burdens in the heart of the Father, and he has assurance in the help of God, and on the strength of that assurance, he can make the sacrifice even of life to see that that thing comes to pass. Many Christians don't know the help of God. They think the help of God is what they prophesy on altars. Give, and then tomorrow you will receive a blessing. It's a deception of the age. Men who know the help of God, they don't give because there's a promise. They give because there is a faithful God. He said, cast thy bread upon the waters. You will find it after many days. Give a portion to several. Give a portion to eight. For you know not the evil that will come upon the earth. The people teaching you the principle of seed sowing, they are giving you that principle because they tell you there's a return. But here is a man who is still giving to seven and eight, even though there is a possibility that the earth will be destroyed. What then is his assurance? There's a God that defines and holds the pillars of the earth. So even if the earth fails, even if the earth can no longer produce seed, there is a God that keeps the boundaries, the pillars of the earth. So I give because there's a God. That's a man that can give for 10 years. There's no reward. But he doesn't even remember the last thing he gave. For him, giving is a life. So when he gives, he's excited. He's not checking what God gave him because he gave. Not this one. I know there's a place of counting your blessings and naming them one by one. But for men of purpose who have seen the event of eternity, who have touched the powers of the age to come, they don't count those blessings. They are the blessing. Yeah. It's becoming so difficult for me to teach the word of God because many people, their perspective have been bastardized. So you can no longer teach people how to have eternal value. The system has been so corrupt that men are like princes of Babylon. Everything we do is informed by the wisdom and the intelligence of Babylon. It becomes difficult. They pervert the scripture. They bend the word of God to fulfill their appetite, their proclivities, and their inclination. So when men are in church doing so much, they are becoming more like the world because they are walking by the wisdom of Babylon. It's difficult now to tell people the things that have immortal significances. You don't know how to tell men now that life is not lived on this side of the divide. That everything we are doing here is an airtime for eternity. They can't hear it anymore because their confidence, their understanding have been bastardized. Why would a man go to the cross? What is the benefit? Why would Paul be going to Jerusalem? They said, this man, he said, seven men spoke to him by the Spirit. And they said, do not go to Jerusalem. He said, but he has a confidence. There's something God told him, that he must bear witness to Jesus in Jerusalem. A prophet shows up, carries his belt, and said, the man that has this, he will be bound. Why would he still go to Jerusalem? These are men that have the power to alter the constellation. They can shift the foundations of the world because for them, life is no longer about personal advantage. Life is about fulfilling the will of the Father. You come to a city, 30 churches in one city, because that's the city where there's money. How many churches are in Meduguri? Why would nobody go there? Is God not willing to reach out to the souls there? Nobody hears vision about Afghanistan. Nobody hears vision about Meduguri. Everybody starts church. He's going to Abuja and Lagos. And we say we are men of faith. Bastardized. All of us do things for gain. The Bible says, woe unto him that thinks gain is godliness. There is gain in God, but gain is not our focus. What I'm sharing may not be for all of you. This one is for the few that are called to walk life from the womb of the Spirit. Some of you, your place is in the political corridor. I'm not talking to you. God will help you there. But I'm talking to the ones that sense in their heart that there is a body to do something in the heart of the Father. For such ones, even if they are in politics, they will die for truth. Those are men that can really move the hand of God and uninstall the foundations of principalities in territories. Why do you think we are praying in our thousands, but we cannot affect the territory? Because there is no stature and texture in our prayer. There are no men of sacrifice anymore. But concerning the apostles, 12 men, the Bible said, these be the men that turned their walls upside down. How will they have so much power? What informed the texture of their walk with God? They know the economy of help. So for them, life is not about advantage in time. We need to be helped. We don't have men of bodies anymore. We are religious people carrying all forms of storms and caricature in the church. When was the last time you prayed for that which is in the heart of the Father? When was the last time your prayer was not about you, but about God? It's a definition of where you are. A lost generation. A lost generation. The problem is that some of us, we've never seen the Lord. You don't know how God bleeds. If you have seen the heart of the Father, your life will change. The Bible said the reason Moses was able to reject Egypt was because he saw him that was invincible. If you see the heart of God, your life will change. If you know how the heart of Jesus bleeds for a generation, you will know that it's a sin to live for yourself. Men that have callings on their lives, living for pleasure. Men that have bodies, they deplete those bodies for needs, petty needs. We live like animals. It's only the animal that live for his appetite. You see, a man that is in honor, that knoweth not, is like the beast of the field that perishes. Even the gospel, men preach the gospel now for money. For money, the gospel, a hallowed eternal committer to the hand of man. What Jesus himself was doing, that he committed to us. A man preaching the gospel, not aware that every time he's standing in the place of Jesus. He preaches the gospel for bread and wine. That's the level that our confidence and our faith have been bastardized. This morning you will cry for the help of God, because many of us are far. I want to pray for a few people. Obviously, I can't go into my message. I want to pray for a few people. I want to make a fresh commitment to God and say their lives have been placed on the altar. God, do with me that which you will. Those are the people I came for this morning. You are part of such people, come to the front. I'm not talking to everybody.
Hey, yeah. Lord, we seek help. We seek help. If you don't help us, Lord, we will be carried away by charades. Oh, that you will show us mercy and show us, oh God, the path of life. Show us the true essence of living. Oh, that the reality and the reasons why we came into time will become something that is real, even in our cognitive minds, oh God. Look upon us this morning with mercy, and grant us access to the portal where divine help is accessed. Lord, show us mercy. Grant us help, oh God. Grant us help. Let our generation, oh God, not be carried away by the things of the world. Let our eyes, oh God, be fixed upon the mountain where our help is situated. Help, 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 help. Ah, let men and women of conviction rise, oh God. Let men and women with true conviction rise, that our faith will not be baptized, that our belief will not be on shallow things. Let our gaze perpetually be fixed on eternity. Ite kopenate rute osablaniata. In the name of Jesus. The Bible said the word of God is a discerner that discerns the very intent of man. The word of God has been revealed to us this morning. And you know where you are. You know the state of your heart right now. Can you begin to make adjustment by the help of the Holy Ghost? Genuinely, it's not out of emotion. What the Lord wants is your will, not your emotion. What He wants is your will. Because it is in the chamber of your will that decisions are made and decisions are sustained. When you submit your will to Him, He gives you His own, and you'll be able to stand. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Make a fresh commitment to God this morning. Make a fresh commitment to God. Spirits will never take any man serious until there is a commitment. It is when you make a deliberate commitment, commit your will, and then they become powerful around you. The Holy Ghost will become powerful around you if he sees your commitment. Make a fresh commitment to the Lord to consistently gaze upon him for help. You will not come under pressure that will change your mind from your conviction. In the name of Jesus, you don't make commitment outside of your mind. You consciously make commitment. I want you to speak in tongues. I want you to talk to God in the word that you know. Tell him that as from this day, if he will help you, this is how your life will go. And then we will pray for grace to abide by that. It's just you and God. This moment don't come all the time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I ask that you hear, O God, and grant help. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Father, look upon us. We bring ourselves as offering before you this morning. We bring ourselves as offering upon your altar. Lord, if you will kindle the fire, we will burn. We mean business with you, Lord. We want to be real with you. And therefore, we make fresh commitment to you this morning by the help of your Spirit. And we ask for grace to abide. Every heart that is genuinely repenting here this morning, let your help not be far from such a heart. Every soul that is turning to you completely this morning, let your help not be far from such an individual. And Lord, as a congregation, as a corporate personnel, we ask of God that you will be mighty in our midst. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. You can go back to your seat.
Hey, I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. Hey, I give myself away.